try to take me out, but I got Jesus on my side. What's it bad? I thought I'd die. But ain't no one was stronger than the one who came and laid down his life. And I got mountains to climb, but the enemy can't stop me, cause there's a calling on my life. So when I'm crying, don't last too long, cause he gon' step in and make it alright.
Stay tuned and focused, and let Words of Life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
The spiritual pathway. Amen. 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 If you would look with me for just a few minutes. Amen. And I got a lot here, but believe me, I'm going to stop at a certain point. Amen. Amen. For this lesson is a good one to be taught, and so I don't want to rush through it and do it injustice. Amen. Amen. Galatians, the 5th chapter. Galatians chapter 5, and we are in the book of Galatians. In our minister's class, we talk about this every Sunday morning, and I believe we are in chapter 4, but we've learned some very powerful things, and we've discussed it. Not that we didn't know a lot of the things, but I believe that sometimes it's good to be reminded, and because Paul had an issue with some things that the Galatians had went off doing. They started in the spirit, and they ended up fleshly. Amen? Amen. And the thing about that, it's easy for any of us to do. It's easy for us to start out spiritual. You're on fire for God, and you're walking the spiritual life. And then you leave the church house, and you go out to your house, and then to the courthouse, and then to somebody else's house, and then to where you work, and you pick up all kinds of things, and you absorb it, you know, in your mind, the sponge, your brain, your spirit, the sponge, whatever you sponge it up with, you bring it to yourself, and all of this will turn you into someone that will walk fleshly if you don't watch it. Amen? Amen. And so the Galatians had been started spiritually, and then they ended up fleshly, but they ended up fleshly because they intended to go that way by teachings that had come to them from those who were of the circumcision, the Judaizers, those who wanted to put them back under the law. And Paul challenged them and said, you know, he says, who have bewitched you, O foolish Galatians? In other words, who have put a spell on you that you don't have sense enough to know that you've received the truth of God's word? Now, why do you want to try to walk backwards and go and get yourself back under the law? Amen. Amen. And so we don't need people to bewitch us and to put spells on us. And what it means to put a spell on somebody means that you do something to the point that they can't really use their own mind to determine and judge whether or not something's wrong or right, but they just go along because they have a spell on them. Amen. And so the Galatians had been bewitched. They had been fooled. They had been hoodwinked, if you will. And Paul had to deal with that. Amen. And the Galatians are no different than the Americans of 2013. Come on and say amen. Yeah, we have been bewitched. We've been hoodwinked by many televangelists, many people on, you know, from your house to Morehouse, from the block, amen, to the corner, from Wall Street to Main Street. We've been fooled on several occasions about several different things. But mainly is because we have not followed the Spirit of God. Amen. We didn't do what we talked about on Sunday. We have not judged spiritual things with spiritual. Amen. We tried to make sense of it with our intellect. And God said, some things are not going to make sense to your intellect, but you'll know in your spirit things are okay. Amen. Amen. That's why it doesn't make sense for us to really think that, you know, you can be saved and have a place in heaven just believing. Amen. Doesn't make sense, does it? That wretched old me could have, all I have to do is believe in Jesus Christ, accept him as my Savior, and I have a place in heaven. That does not make sense. But the Bible says the Spirit will come into your life, and he will seal you, amen? And he will let you know that you are a son of God. Now, nobody else will know that, but only you. Well, no, and I can't say, and as many people as in here that I love and I want to see in heaven, I don't know for sure if anybody else will be saved except for me. Amen. Now, I'm not no offense to anyone. Amen. But you should feel the same way, that I'm sure that I'm saved if nobody else isn't. Amen. Every one of us got to give account for ourselves before God. Amen. Amen. Praise his name. Now, let's look at Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to start reading at verse 16. And we're going, I mean, this is a large lesson, amen. And I thought I was about to end the teaching that we've been talking about for the last 4 to 5 weeks, amen, on about the Spirit of God, amen. But I won't stop until I finish this, even if I preach something else on a Sunday. I'm going to come back to this on Thursday and finish this teaching right here, amen. It says in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 16. Amen. It says, this I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusted against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornications, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Amen. May God have blessing to those hearers and doers of his word. But I want to talk to you about walking a spiritual life. Amen. When we start to look at this, Paul is dealing with Galatians who have just turned to the flesh. Amen. They were believers who turned to the flesh. Now, I know sometimes we look at people and when they do things that are fleshly, we say they can't be saved. Amen. They may be Galatians. Amen. They may be Galatians. They may be under a spell. And they may be doing something and they're doing it thinking that they are right when they are actually wrong because they haven't followed the Spirit and they haven't walked in the Spirit. Now, the thing about this, Paul opens up and he says that this I say then, and he's talking about when they, you know, about the law, and he's talking about what the law of God is and how that people devour one another, don't bite and devour one another and be consumed of one another. He's talking about the disarray that they are in, and he says, this I say, then walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, the thing that Paul was letting them know was that the only answer in conquering the lust of the flesh is the Holy Spirit of God. Now, we can try to 12-step it. Come on and say amen. We can try to AA it. Amen. Say it. But even if you go to all those steps and even if you go to those meetings, they tell you that you need a higher power. They want, you know, they may not say God or they may not say Jesus, but they'll tell you that you really need help from a higher authority. Amen. And basically what they really should be saying, but because it's government funded, they can't say it. But they really should be saying the only way that you can overcome the flesh is by the Holy Spirit of God in your life. Amen. And so the believer is to walk in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. excuse me. It is the only conceivable way to being able to overcome fulfilling the lust of the flesh. The reason why is because we were born in the flesh. David said that by sin my mother conceived me, and by in iniquity I was born in sin, shaped with what? Iniquity. He says that. And all of us, we're born in this flesh. Come on and say amen. And we know the works of this flesh, and we live according most of the time to the flesh, especially until we really come to the understanding of the truth of God. And who reveals that truth? The Holy Spirit of God. But so we are born, and why do you think that you don't really have to teach a baby how to do bad things? You don't have to teach a baby to be disobedient. You can tell that baby not to do something. Don't do it. And they'll look around, see if you're looking, and do it anyway. You don't have to teach them disobedience. It is just in their nature, in the flesh. Amen. To be disobedient. Amen. That's why they can pick up on cuss words before they can pick up on a scripture. You can say hallelujah 1,000 times and the baby may not pick it up but cuss a couple. Amen. It is because they're flesh. Amen. And so when we look at this, we understand that when, in order to overcome fulfilling the lust of the flesh, amen, but that we have to have the Spirit of God. And so no person has the power to really control the flesh without the power of God within them. Amen. So we understand that because the flesh fights to dominate the person. Amen. Remember, I talked about how that we are a triune person. We are made of three parts. Amen. We're made of flesh, soul, and spirit. Amen. And so that makes up the one being, just like God is one. He's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Come on and say amen. And so he's one, and we are one, but we are three parts, just like God. We're triune, amen? And so when we look at that, the flesh is just a part of us, just a third of us. If we live after the flesh, we're living to satisfy only a third part of the person. That's why when Jesus healed the people, he said, not only are you healed, but you shall be made. See, those people had to keep going. Amen. They have to stay in the word. They have to continue to follow Christ, because they're still not whole. They're only a third of them has been healed. Only a third of them have been reactive to what Jesus has done. Amen. Okay. And so the flesh fight to dominate the soul and the spirit. And the flesh, once the flesh gets control, the soul is in between. There's a tug of war going on, basically. And whatever's the strongest, whatever you feed the most, whatever, if you feed the flesh the most, and I'm going back over what we've taught already, the flesh will become stronger and the flesh will overrule, and then the soul will figure out how to get the flesh what it needs to get. That's how people become so smart. You know how people always say, well, certain people, if they use a certain type of drug, and I'm not going to pick on just one type of person, but if they use a certain type of drug, boy, they'll figure out how to get it done. They'll trick you. They'll get the money out of you. They know how to lie to you. They know how to do work that you wouldn't imagine. How in the world this person is so talented? Because their mind has figured out, well, I got to get this money because I got to get my fix for my flesh. And so I know I can put this wall up in a day, no problem. And they can do it because their soul has figured out how to do it. So the flesh can get what it needs. Come on and say amen. Oh, yeah. So the flesh is looking to dominate the person. Amen. And it says, the scripture says, it says that that if we walk in the spirit, we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so we can't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. If you look at the next verse, for it says the flesh lusted against the spirit. Basically, it means that the flesh fights against the spirit to control the body. Amen. There's a tug of war going on. They're face to face. They're toe to toe. And they're trying to get control. The spirit is trying to get control because he knows what's best. Because he's connected. And that's the place where you worship God. And he's connected to the will of God. But the flesh is not connected. The flesh has no place. And the Bible even tells you that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So the flesh don't know what's good for the kingdom person. So a person who say, I'm a child of the kingdom, to walk in the flesh will not get what's best for him. Amen. Is that okay? Then the word, when we look at the word lust, this word is epitome kata, which means the yearning passion for. In other words, it means it not only yearns, but it craves, it pulls, it has a hunger, a desire, a thirsting, a longing, and guess what? A grasp. It has not only a grasp, but it's grabbing and taking what it wants. You have to go back and take authority over your flesh, because your flesh is taking what it wants. Oh, yeah, see, you may want to read your Bible, but your flesh say, I'm taking my rest. You get on your knees to pray, and you wake up and your legs sleep, because your flesh has just taken over and say, I'm not praying. I'm too tired to pray. Your flesh tell you to stay in the bed, don't come to church. Every person has a lusting of the flesh of some sort. Nobody can say that they don't have a lusting of the flesh. Amen. You may not look like you do, and you may not want to accept the fact that you do, but your flesh controls you at some point, but you have to fight and continue to fight by the Spirit of God. Amen. There's only one way to combat the flesh, and that is by the Spirit of God. You can listen and go to every motivational, you can go to all these, what they call it, the sweat camps and all the stuff that they were doing, trying to get control of your flesh, trying to get your flesh under subjection. You can go to all these motivational seminars and stuff like that, telling you how to do this and how to do that, and it doesn't work. You can even come to church, but if the spirit is not there, why do you think they could kill in the name of religion? Why do you think that in certain churches you can't go in because of your color? They say, let us find a place for you to worship where you will be more comfortable. Come on and say amen here. It's because the flesh rules and no spirit is there. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And so we need to know that there is a war within us. The Bible tells us in Romans 7:23, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Now, you know, the flesh, you know, the old man, the flesh, he's never just gone away. He just may not get around like he used to. He may not get to do the things he used to, amen, but any opportunity, he'll jump up. Because you're in the middle of the night, if you're trying to get somewhere and you hit your toe. I don't know anybody that starts speaking in tongues when they hit their toe. You may speak in a tongue and you may call it French, because you always, excuse my French. But that's not French. Come on and say amen. So what I'm saying is that the flesh look for the opportunity, and Paul just said in Romans 7:23, he said that there's another law. He said there's sin in my members, war against the law of my mind, and there's sin in my members. And so in my members member how to sin. My members remember just how to do it. Oh, you know how it is. Somebody cross you the wrong way. You ain't forgot how to cuss them out. You ain't forgot. I ain't forgot how to fight. Who hadn't said that before? I can get down still. Been 20 years, but I know how. You know, that's the flesh, man. That's the flesh. Amen. Okay. All right. Okay. Romans 8:7 said, because the carnal or the fleshly mind is enmity or rebel against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. He's not subject. He's not submitted to the will of God. So the person who's in the carnal mind or the fleshly mind, they think about fleshly things and they can't see what God is doing in you because they can't get past your flesh. Come on. That person can't, they will not be able to submit to God, and their flesh will not be able to submit. Amen. Let's see. Let's go on a little further here. And so the flesh is contrary to the spirit. The flesh had within itself unregulated urges and passions that a man would desire to do some things, and he can't restrain himself, and he has passions and emotions that go along with this because now he drags his soul into it. And so your body or your being is almost like a democracy. 2/3 rule. So if your flesh can get your soul to come along, then your spirit has no voice. Your spirit can't even stop you. You know you shouldn't be doing it, but you do it because it feels good to your flesh. That's why a lot of times when people feel bad about something is when they get home and they lay down and they start to go into sleep. Your flesh now is resting and has no control. And then your spirit kicks on and say, hey, you know, that was wrong what you did. And then now I can't sleep because I need to apologize. Help me, Holy Ghost. I wish I had somebody I was talking to other than me in here. Oh, I'm talking to a bunch of holy people, people that never do nothing wrong. Amen. Amen. You know, we can walk by people and turn our nose up because we know they said something, but amen. That's the flesh. The Spirit will let you speak to them. The Spirit will let you bless them. Give them some money. So thank you. I appreciate it. Give him a call. Thank you. Because all it's doing is making me a better person. Amen. Amen. So when the believer feels the constraint and the pressure between the flesh and the Holy Spirit has given him power to overcome. When you feel that wrestling within yourself, the Spirit of God is trying to give you power to overcome that flesh. But, you know, sometimes what happens is the devil will bring somebody, will put in a bug in somebody's ear and say, you know, they're warring on the inside. So you need to go over there and confirm it's okay to do something. And they come over there and say, hey, you know what? I was thinking about going out to Chili's and get some drinks. And you was warned and say, I said in 2013 I wasn't going to drink no more. And then they buying and they ain't never bought before. I'm just using that for an example. I know nobody here drinks. Amen. Amen. Lord, help us today. The Spirit of God gives us constraining power, amen? And we need to have the Spirit of God active in our life because the Spirit of God will give us peace to say no. You won't worry about what they think. Well, I don't want them to think I'm more than they are, because that's the first thing that they'll say, and it'll play on your flesh, and you'll say, nah, I'm going to go with them just because I. And then you may not even be drinking, but somebody say, man, I thought you said you quit. And now, look at your character. Look, they think you're a liar now. Amen? The flesh keeps a person from doing what he would. Look at this. What does it say? Let's read all of it. It says, that the flesh lusted against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that they can that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Now, I like that because he says they're contrary one to another. They're contrary one to another. They are they don't have no agreement with between the two of them. Your spirit or the spirit of God will not agree with the flesh. Amen. Will not agree with what feels good. Will not agree with what pleases the eye. Come on and say amen. Oh, yeah, the spirit won't. And so he says that that these two, they war with each other so that you could not do the things that you would. So that goes two ways here. Let's talk about that. The spirit war so that you wouldn't get out of hand in the flesh, so that you couldn't do the things that you would have done. Then the flesh acts up so that you won't do the things that the spirit wants you to do. So either way, there's a war to keep you from doing the things that you would. Paul said, that I would do, I do not. And that I would not, that I do. Now, well, I'm trying not to do it, but I do it anyway. And sometimes I don't want to do it, but I still end up doing it. And that's the apostle said that. And here we are trying to act like. Oh, my God, today. But the Holy Ghost is the one that helps us. Amen? Amen. He gave us power. Amen? And we can't give into the power of the flesh. Amen? We can't give into the power of the flesh, because when we give into the power of the flesh, we get into things and we misjudge things, we overrate things, we become angry, you know, we you know, all of the things that come in the flesh, the selfishness, the morality, being uncommitted, unfaithful, do evil, we lust, we become prideful, we curse, we lie, we steal. Come on. And some people don't call it stealing, they call it borrowing, and they'll never bring it back, but that's still stealing. Come on and say amen. 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 And so when we look at those things, that's what we do in the flesh. Amen. But then we got to understand that some things that we do in the flesh will hinder us from growing spiritually, because if we overindulge into it, then we have no way of getting the word, because our flesh won't let us get it. Because you'll come here and your mind will be wondering about all kind of other things that you'll have to do in the flesh. You'll wonder about scandal tonight. Why are we in church? Let me say that again. Somebody said they don't like it. I ain't watching it. I don't want my flesh to get hooked watching something that everybody else like. Amen. But I hear everybody likes it. Amen. So I know my flesh don't need to watch it, because I don't need to waste my time. My time is too valuable. Amen. Maybe so. I'm not down on other people that watch. Do what you do. Amen. But I'm not going to let something control me. Amen. Amen. And so when you have an experience in the spirit, you begin to reach out. You begin to love. You begin to show kindness and be giving and sacrificial. Amen. You become patient. You want to help others. But as long as you're in the flesh, you're selfish. Amen. As long as you're in the flesh, you're trying to get what I want to get mine. Even if I have to take yours, I'm going to take it so I can have something. Amen. That's the flesh. And so then it says in verse 18, but if you would be led of the spirit, you're not under the law. Amen. So when I look at all these things, and I got plenty more to say about the flesh, but the flesh, when it fails, think about this, when it fails to keep the law, and this is what Paul was talking about with the Galatians. The Galatians were trying to keep the law. And when the flesh failed to keep the law, then there's a consequence that the flesh is going to have to pay someday. Amen. Amen. And so if there's a consequence that the flesh has to pay, most of the time the flesh don't pay attention to the consequence. They just do the thing. They live by impulse. Amen. They live by what I feel right now rather than living by the principles of God. Amen. I'd rather live by principle than to live by pleasure or by impulse, by something I feel for the moment. Amen. Because what you feel for the moment can cost you everything that God has in store for you, because you may never be able to walk in the spirit because you lived in the flesh so long. that you don't even know. And remember the scripture last week on Sunday, I had not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man, the things that God has in store for him, but has been revealed by his spirit, amen? And so we will never know what God has in store for us if we let the one-third of our flesh dictate the rest of the body. Amen. Amen.